code, and I'll just, I'll probably say zoning for last, because that might take the longest time. So I'll just go, I'll introduce each of the smaller areas that we spent time on, and I'll just say a couple comments about each area, and then you guys can tell me, you know, the four of you, the ones on vacation.
It'll be easy.
You could tell me
what topic we're going to have first.
Yeah, the first one will be signs, because I did get some comments about signs. So, signs, chapter 134. Basically, what the intent was, and we thought that it would be a benefit to the community if no further billboards were allowed, and if the billboards that were there, they kind of sunset away. So
yeah, well, I don't agree with that. I mean, that's just...
That's why I figured we'd do this.
So a lot of people spend a lot of money on these billboards, right? And so if they need repairs, they can't even repair them. They got to tear them down. I'm not for that.
Aren't these also regulated under the second state law?
Right. And we got a number 8, no new ones would be permitted in the town.
You know, again, whenever you guys, the five of you, are you tell me what you want to do. I'm really like the secretary.
Right.
So you tell me if you want to, if you want to keep no new ones, you know, how do you want to proceed?
No, I'll take that out of there, too. The no new
ones. What zones are they currently allowed?
I think they're allowed in all zones.
Yeah, they're allowed in all
zones. No?
Like highway, commercial, and industrial, possibly?
Well, you know what? I left my zoning law, we'll call it. Did you?
I didn't read mine.
You got yours? Any of the code.
You need a code book?
Can I borrow a code?
Sure.
Sure, I'm sorry. I don't have a whole thing. I had it on my chair and I left it there.
Well, you're trying to be as consistent with the new update to the village code, where they're basically not allowing any new buildings.
We don't know that code.
It was adopted with
No, that was never.
It was never adopted?
I thought that was taken out. Because the village tried to remove billboards years ago, and obviously we failed. Because that's why I said I think they're regulated under the state as well.
Well, the federal law, there's a federal law, and I'm not an authority on this, but the federal law, there's a federal communications law that we have to comply with. Thank you.
Through a correspondence with Jared, he gave a voice.
Yes, but he's not happy.
Right, and he works in an industry that uses.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's a way of advertising. I mean, we're going to take away people's right to advertise. I'm not, we're supposed to be advocating for business, not trying to take away business.
We take it out, let me know. We'll just
take it out.
Okay?
I mean, I'm okay with possibly taking it out, but I'd like to know where they're going to go.
I think you're taking out all the changes. When I say take, right. You don't want it to be changed.
What about taking the FRA zones only? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What if we decide to take it out of RA zones only?
RA zones only, okay.
But keep it in the other zones.
I mean, if we're taking it, I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that, but I mean, I think if we're going to, first, I mean, you want to make sure that we're going to have that they're kind of in the right places, though.
What's the breed now? Where they?
I think it's going to be
probably about right here.
Anywhere but RA, you think?
An option.
I mean, we got like a 23 where the barn is an example. I don't know if that really is a detraction there, or not.
Would the sections that it's allowed, the zones it's allowed, be on the zoning law?
Probably the sign chapter, because I don't think the zoning law says anything about signs. This one on 32 by this new wholesale building supply place that's in front of the planning board right now, and we're having a conversation with them as to whether they're going to keep the billboard or not, or whether we can encourage it to take it down. So that's the question we're thinking about.
What's the reason in taking these billboards down?
Aesthetic appeal.
Aesthetic appeal. Well, we're gonna put miles and miles and miles of solar panels all over the place that we're gonna stare at. But that's okay. But we don't want a billboard.
We're not saying that either.
I think we should take at least the part that says that if they get out of disrepair, that they have to come down.
I don't see where they're allowed in certain zones and not others.
There's nothing in there now at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, they're allowed.
Your question was where they allowed.
They're allowed it, right? Because I could be the only one that feels that way, but if, you know, I don't know if I'd want to see somebody decide that they want to put one up on Jefferson Hill. Maybe, as an example, or you know, I mean, again, I don't mind them personally on 23 in these highway commercial areas, and you know, like when we get down to cement and on 9W by the old cement plant, there's billboards down there.
Right.
I mean, I don't think.
Yeah. So I think if they haven't been abandoned,
they don't really hurt anything there.
So you're saying allow or prohibit them in RA?
Yeah, it's up to the town.
That word, right.
And then allow this all other zones?
Any comment on that, Patrick? What do you would like to have them, or you'd like to have them everywhere? I mean, what happened to couple?
But they're not everywhere now.
But they're not everywhere now.
Right. So that happened in the past.
They're permitted everywhere.
Right. But something happened somewhere.
But you're not going to get somebody's not going to put a billboard on 23 in the middle of Jefferson Heights.
Right, and but something happened. I don't know when it was, but that's when all these went up by the bridge approach when you go across what I would call the old singing bridge.
Yep, and that was the one that the village wanted to take down.
Right, because I don't know what happened, but it seemed like it was like the 11th hour they were able to do something, and so I don't know what changed, but I vaguely remember, and again, this is probably 15 or 20 years ago already.
Well, it would have to be approved no matter what, right? If anyone was going to try and fit in a new one.
Correct.
That would have to be like a site plan, and.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we're not just left to allow people to put them anywhere. It would have to make sense.
There's no requirement for it to get site funding, though.
Wouldn't hurt to throw that in, I guess.
Like you said, personally, I don't want to, you know, not have any available. Because we have them out there, and I think it does promote certain businesses currently. I mean, I understand it's going more internet-wise and things of that nature, but I'm
going to be able to advertise that big pot leaf.
That's true.
Does it require site plan approval?
There's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing.
There's nothing.
That should be required, for sure.
Yeah. So, you want to, we'll send this back to the planning board we won't do anything with it now, we'll send it back to them for some more different recommendations about site plan approval and
where we want to permit it.
And where we want to permit it.
I do stand corrected, though. The village, and we're going to have to address this, 4.9.9, moratorization on billboards.
Yep, I knew it was there.
Yeah. The federal...
Well, how long is the moratorium for, though? Moratorium is a short period of time.
No, it's amortization. The federal communications law, and again, I'm not an authority on this, but what necessary or required that whatever investment the billboard company has in the billboard, they're able to recoup that. So if they say, you know, it costs us X number of dollars, we have to get, you know, it has to be up for 7 years and up in order for us to recoup our investment.
Get investment
10 years or whatever it is,
right.
They have to get a return on their investment. Now, after that, then they can be moved, you're going to have a multi-billion dollar industry is going to be fighting the village of Catskill and the town of Catskill,
and you know how that goes.
And you know how that goes. So that's
right. Okay. So I think we're in agreement to push that back and allow. How are you feeling on that, Patrick? You're not for it, right? You want to have that billboards. Existing ones not being able to be picked up.
But do we want to, I don't know how you would tailor a site plan or do around a billboard.
Well, it's
big
enough.
Well, how do you do a sign permit?
Yeah.
It's basically the same as a sign permit.
But a sign permit just goes to UMass.
Yeah, but, right. And also a billboard is kind of the message on it.
Right.
I mean, then you got to look at the type of, like you said, you go up on 787. I mean, you got, you know, I mean, that's, if we're going to have billboards, and do you want them, you know?
No.
You don't want the ones that are going to be flashing around, you know?
So maybe I can spell that part out.
What are they going to look like once we have a billboard? I mean, you know, it's okay if you say that, you know, the jackpot lot of these, you know, how many million, but what kind of looms is that thing putting out? You know, so it's a lot, you know.
I just have a note also that with that sign permit, the applicant's going to need to contact, be responsible for contacting, if it's on a state or a county road, contacting either, you know, DOT or Green County.
Well, because of the size of it, man, I have to get permission by default.
Yeah, but if that's something that's been slipped through the cracks, we've been getting a lot of calls from them for like driveways and signs.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, and I'm okay with them being repaired, but I think we got to be careful the ones that aren't, you know, if they are in disrepair. I think
if they're abandoned.
If they're abandoned and stuff, that's what we got to be a little more proactive to get those taken care of.
Right, and I think that's in here, right? If it's abandoned, that it comes down.
Well, I think it says it's not that you can't repair it. That was sort of and I've seen that in other towns and other villages. It's sort of it's a backdoor way to face the matter.
Right. You can't fix them, so eventually you have none.
Right. Before I thought in the old code.
But I mean, we have some from 1960 right now. Right. So that
strikes
on it falling over.
Right. So that should be, if it hasn't had a sign on it in 10 years, then it should take it back.
Or even 3 years.
Or whatever. I'm just throwing it out.
And when you know it's really dilapidated and it's abandoned, I mean,
but just
they could be taken care of. Because they could come on a waiver for sure. Okay. We good on the signs, Ted?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Short-term rental is section one, it's brand new. This is a brand new section.
There's no red line on it.
There's no red line on it. So, short-term rental, we started out with the village sort of as a beginning point, and then we did make considerable, probably improvements to, you know, we customized it based on what we thought was appropriate in the town.
So how does the new state law then affect our law?
Well, the state law, which I'm not familiar with, but the state law, whatever the state, you can't do anything that violates the state law. I mean, I haven't seen. I guess
it was in the budget.
Michelle Hinchy is behind it.
It hasn't been.
Airbnb.
Putting in the bed taxes and all that stuff. So that's up and coming, probably not how quickly that's going to happen.
Right. 2023.
Right. Yeah. So there's going to be more regulations coming out of the state on the short term rentals. But again, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do anything to violate state law, but it does give us some ability. You know, part of the impetus for this, we had the fire out there on High Falls Road Extension. So, you know, there is some, the idea really is we want, there has to be some regard for safety.
Oh, absolutely, I agree. I just want to make sure we don't go through this whole process and they come out with a process that changes our process, that's all.
Right. We can always be stricter than the state policy, but we can't add anything to what they regulate. So if they do come out with something, we'll just have to abide by that if it supersedes this.
I mean, this was all in the works already prior to that fire. The fire went on catastrophic. Right. That really brought a lot more issues to the forefront of what it can happen and did happen and what our fire departments. We just need to make sure that when people come to Catskill that we're giving them a decent level or a good level of expectation and safety.
I think the other thing that goes, if this is satisfactory to you that we want to go in this direction, the other thing we should be aware of is it creates more work for the code enforcement. So when the code enforcement, you know, Matt and I have talked a little bit about this, but, you know, the potential is it's going to create more work. And if you've got, if you might have to budget, you know, another half a person or something, I mean, but it's going to end up costing you money somewhere.
Well, what we got, what I think we got to do is a cost analysis. I mean, Matt and I had that discussion already. I mean, what's the typical inspection look like? How many hours do we have going to the site? Transportation in and out of time, coming back and doing those reports. So we got to really kind of punch the numbers a little bit, because we want to, and you know, we want to at least break even for today. But you also got to look like we're not going to raise these fees up next year, and you know, the following year. So it should be. Not that it's a money maker, but it shouldn't cost the rest of the taxpayers in Catskill money for somebody doing an Airbnb or any other business.
And how are we going to regulate this?
Well,
who's going to come up with a list of all the Airbnbs in the town of Catskill?
You can
pull. Okay. Yeah. I feel like there's a service out there that provides.
Yeah, you can pull it up here.
I think it might be wrong, but it's something like Granicus or something of that nature. There's companies out there. And I believe, I was talking to somebody today, town of Catskill, there might be like 140 inclusive of the village. It could be 141 type of rentals available in Catskill. Town and village included. That's
the nice thing.
Town revenue right now on Airbnbs, and I don't know what year this was, but they brought in $563,000.
That's gotta be wrong.
That's good.
I just heard that. Be more than that.
And the average night was $395. I got this from a. No, that's. I mean, this is the data that somebody. This only happened an hour ago. So I was talking to somebody, and they said, "Let me pull this up." I mean, if you go up on my Carol jumping into tiny homes, they're 300 and change. So, and then you look at a house that could be going for 1400. So that number starts to work.
Think of the house on Hamburg Road where they also host weddings and stuff. That's where we got the noise complaints.
Yeah, this will help a lot.
And do we determine the fee yet?
Well, we have to do it. That's got to come up. The fee structure has to be in place.
Because at the end of the day, these Airbnbs are only passing it off on the customer anyway, so it doesn't matter what we charge.
Yeah, the village is what, initial $350, I think, and then it's $150 or $175 every year for the inspection.
What do you think about, it seems like everything's going to expire on December 31st. Is that going to put too much of a workload, or should we look at saying, when your permit's issued that quarter, so it's quarter one, you're doing quarter one next year, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four? Because, you think on, it's the old postal thing, when I first started, everybody's P.O. box was due in, like, the beginning of the year, you couldn't do it, and then it became the month that you rented the
right,
box.
Well, that's the way it should be. It should be the month that you rent it, just do the following year that month.
Right, or at least a quarter, you know, somewhere within that quarter. Because otherwise, you're going to be inundated, and there's no way all of a sudden, you know, January 1, 2023, or whatever, you're going to get all these done.
Unless we disassociate the fee from the inspection, and the fee comes due with what is every, you know, first, like a trailer park permit, and we just schedule the inspections at our leisure.
Mm-hmm. So I think staggering the either quarter, once we might be cut, but I think quarterly is not a fair, not a bad.
Yep.
Is this something we can set up online that they can register online and pay online and make it a little easier for everybody?
You'll have to do the initial inspection.
No, I mean for the fee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that there's not 300 people dropping down here and bugging her and bugging him. So you submit it and you just to streamline it a little bit.
How about these chimney inspections? I mean, is that going to be done for somebody that's just burning wood stoves, or is it going to be heating systems? What was the thought on that? I mean, anyway, let's say you got a hot air furnace, so it's going to be good. You know, that inspection is going to be done when they do an annual cleaning of your hot air furnace. I mean, who's going to inspect a regular heating system? I mean, I understand the wood stove thing is that, if you're burning wood, that's more important because you've got the grease all filled up. But I understand that slip can plug up a regular system too. But, what's going to be the, what do you think that's going to look like? We've got to take the main care, you got the service from the utility, or the provider. Because we're not going to start going up on roofs and start up.
No, I think that would be a chimney sweep thing with a receipt.
Okay. And that's going to be for all kinds of any fossil fuels, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, natural gas, you're not having to sit and all that stuff.
Right. That's what I'm trying to.
You don't need to have it clean with natural gas or propane.
Right. Unless a bird, get a bird's nest, a squirrel's nest. I mean, But you're, we're going to have all kinds of carbon monoxide detectors and such like that, I'm sure, in there. Just a thought, I mean, I just wonder.
All right, so what you're talking about, you want to address, it's 133-4C is in Charles 11. It says you permit to fire on December 31st, so I'll address that. I'll stagger based on the date of the application.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And I'll talk to Matt and figure that out. But other than that, so things are pretty good, right?
Yeah. Number F.
What number?
F. Each sleeping room should have an exterior exit that opens directly to the outside.
Or fire escape.
I mean, now we're talking, holy shit, we're going to make these people pay a lot of money to.
That's a pretty important one, though. What was it? Letter F?
Yeah.
133-2.
E-F.
Just below the chimneys.
133-2, F. Right, but that could be a window, right, and they could have a chain type of ladder to drop out. Is that true?
To be considered a rescue window?
Yeah. 133-2. Under B. Sleeping rooms shall have an exterior exit that opens directly to the outside or emergency escape or rescue window. If a fire is in the hallway, you're going to have somebody, you know, at least a window to bail, I suppose, you know, right?
Do you want to add in an approved path of egress?
I mean,
I just think we're putting a big burden on people. I mean, I have a two-story home, but I don't have a freaking chain that I can drop down to climb out.
Well, then that's another thing that's got to be inspected, you
know. Right, but I mean, you got a window on every. I mean, right. I think this prevents.
But this doesn't just say a window. It says a window and emergency escape.
Or an emergency escape or a rescue window.
I'd be all right as long as it meets the
normal requirements to get them out.
Right. If they have a small window, and an escape window or door.
So a window, a normal-sized bedroom window, is fine.
Right.
But you could get in situations where you got one of these crank-out awning windows back in the 1960s with the bars there, and you're not getting out of that. I mean,
so the inspection would
reveal that. So if we saw anything that looked like there wasn't enough egress, we would have to address it. But it may not be a requirement for everyone to put in an egress-sized window.
Right. And it doesn't really address that you have to have the ladder or anything. You're still a good idea, obviously, I think.
I can't find it right this second. Somewhere it says in here, it should say that fees will be set by the town.
That's in there somewhere.
On the left, the very last line, I think.
Not that you want to be overbearing, and some people will say that, but how about insurances and things? Is that something that should be checked, or you don't think that's a necessary item?
It's in here.
Is it insurance?
Yeah, copy of insurance line.
Yes, C, number H.
H.
183-2H.
Copy of H. Okay. Copy of insurance, yep. Binder, yep. Okay, receiver, is required. That's good to have.
All right, so that's good. We're good on that.
Is it possible for us to view this as a separate thing from the code being just an addition that we could get it through a little faster? Because we've had pressure from, I mean, people come to us, what are the requirements? And I kind of keep telling them there's nothing right now.
Well, we're going to.
This is going to happen pretty quick.
Yeah, we're going to write a statement. We get done tonight, we'll set a public hearing, right?
I'm okay with that.
mean, we'll have to make another, like, with the changes that we're making tonight, and then we can set up a public hearing.
We'll see. I mean, if we make any drastic changes, we might want to bring it back to airport. For them to review.
The next meeting of the board is on February 1st. So if you're considering adopting a local law to these changes.
Yeah, that's too soon.
Right.
So that would be the middle of February.
Second meeting.
But that's the only thing we can do.
How hard is it to, if we have to impose a fine or a fee, how hard is it to have it like levied on taxes if they don't pay it?
We have a resolution that's a fees are set by the board by resolution. Yeah, so you know, at some point you gotta, before you implement this, you gotta set a fee. You don't have to do that tonight.
Right, for the inspection. You're saying about the violations.
Right, if on the violation end, if along the way, once they're up and operating.
Right, and then what's going to be the fee if they refuse to let him in and do an inspection but continue to operate?
Well, violations are, they're a violation, you know, you bring it to town court.
And if they're in violation, I believe it has language something to the fact that you get the warning and then eventually you don't, you can't operate.
It just says any property owner found in willful violation of this provision, ordinance shall be required to reimburse the town for reasonable cost.
Yeah. All right. We're going to add fines.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put something.
Fine structure. Yeah. No, that's good. That's why we got.
Because who's going to say what a reasonable cost is?
Yep, yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Me, a reasonable cost is $10. You, it's $100.
Yep. Good. Okay. So I'll get you something. I'll get that language. I'll get you something.
Any additional comments on the short-term rentals?
I think that you don't want to get property. That's what you're saying. That is 133.6E.
What was that, Patrick?
I think what you were just bringing up is somewhat answered in 133.6E.
136?
133.6.
A reasonable set cost of enforcement, including reimbursed staff time and reasonable attorney fees.
Yeah, but we want to have a fine in there too.
Right. That's why I said what's reasonable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just move with a dollar amount. It's more
better. Yep.
Yep. Right. We can get that right in.
Right.
Fees.
Yep. Yep. Sure. Okay. Solar energy systems. So this thing was more or less a disaster. So I just rewrote a lot of it because it didn't make any sense. Parts of it were inconsistent with other parts. So I cleaned it up. I didn't really change a whole lot. One of the things we did change is we made a large scale solar system if it's 15 kilowatts or greater. We had before 10 kilowatts. Now, I don't know, you know, how that translates into number of solar panels. I'm not educated about that, but it just seems that people weighed in on it, and it sounded like 15 kilowatts or more was a better, more reasonable.
20, if I can make a suggestion, and it, we don't have to go there, but 20 would be more reasonable to power a house, like a typical size house. And the size of the panels are getting smaller, so they need fewer and fewer to generate that much.
Okay. All right. Let's see here.
NYSERDA refers a lot back to 25 kilowatts. Is that true?
Yeah, 25 is the number.
Smart growth community or whatever they
are. Right.
We put that out around.
But if we want to keep it a little more restrictive, 20 would be helpful.
Well, it would be less restrictive because that would leave a more solar panels not being considered. A greater number of solar panels that would be required before you triggered large scale,
correct.
Which is much greater regulation.
Right.
So basically small scale, and you just go and you put it up, they come see you and they get a permit and they go ahead.
Right, but there's no decommission for a small scale.
Right.
Which there should be.
Well,
because with all these old solar, you know, that were put up 10, 15 years ago, they're obsolete, right? So they're taking them down. Yeah. What are they doing with them? I won't take them because I have no idea what's in them. So what are they going to do with them? There's got to be a plan for these besides dump them to somebody else.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to have a decommission.
Whether it be the manufacturer that put them up is responsible to take them back or something.
That would be ideal to make it recycle what they could have added.
Because yeah, on the county level, we're not equipped to handle these things.
No, they don't understand at all.
I won't take them.
You have the commissioning under 134A7.
Yeah, but that's for the large scale.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, yeah. Okay.
No, there is no outlet for us at this point in time. So you tell people we can't take it, and all of a sudden it turns into an argument, a fight, and so on and so forth.
Well, what do they do? So I have a small scale solar system in my household. So what do I do? It's obsolete. What do? I go see you and you say, oh, I'm not taking that
right
stuff. So what do I do?
Right. You drive down the road, and throw up the side of the road.
Right. So, you know? I mean, but what should the decommissioning plan be? What are we going to require them to do?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right?
That's right. That's what we got to find out.
Because we don't have a solution.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that should have been thought out a long time ago. Because some of these small-scale ones are coming to the end of their life already. You know, they have a 20-year lifespan.
Right. And then the roof needs to be done, and then what do they do with it? What happens?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's beyond us. Like, is that a government thing? Or can we make
Paul's in the business. I mean, if he doesn't know what we're going to do with them,
yeah,
everybody around here knows what to do next. That's
right. Yeah, it's like with the large scale, right? They're responsible to take them down and dispose of them. So it should be really no different than the smaller scale. You know, the company that installs them should be responsible to take them back.
And then not only that, if somebody's in the backyard 25 years from now, they leave us, you know, if it's not working, should it still be in your backyard for another neighbor to continue to view? Mm-hmm. Okay. If I was a neighbor, I wouldn't like that.
Well, we can't regulate that the manufacturer has to take
it. Right. I know.
You can't.
But I'm just. Yeah. It's just.
Well, we could certainly
guess
that.
It's what's going to happen. You
right
know what I mean?
Right. But it's how you enforce it.
Right.
I mean, I get it, got a thing from water. I mean, most of our things are around. We only had like 4 or 5 that were over that 10, 12, you know, that really went to the planning board. A lot of those were back in like 14 and 15. But I agree, I want to get that kilowatt hour a little bit as well. Because, I mean, the initiatives that are out there, now you're going to see more electric, you're going to see more people trying to be self-sufficient.
20 would be.
It makes it more user-friendly. I mean, the higher that number is, right, Teresa? The higher that number is, the more you're going to have, the average consumer is going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right, but if it's ground mounted, they still got all these setbacks that they got to do.
Right, yep. They've got setbacks, yeah.
I think we're up against legislation where new home construction has to be a certain percentage, you know, non-fossil fuel if it's not 100% within a few years. I don't know where I didn't download it or anything, but I'm trying to find that. So we might be up against changing it soon anyway.
Well, I mean, that's the same with these large scale. I mean, pretty much the state has come out and said they can overrule us if we say, no, you can't put it here. The state can turn around and say,
yeah, sure.
Right. Was that our 10?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I guess we can just...
Real large scale, like what's going on in Cook's Island. If they're coming to town, they're coming to town.
Right. No matter whether we sell them or not.
It's not going to have any bearing on it.
Right.
I mean, the lot size, I mean, if that's down to 25, I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea, right? Coverage of the energy system on the ground mounted.
We got a performance bond that they have to post if there's going to be a large 20 or over, you know, or we'll have 20 will be okay, over 20 is a large scale.
Mm-hmm. You want me to make it, at least talk to some of these manufacturers and about a decommissioning plan? See if what we can go on.
Yeah, if you have any input on that, sure.
Sure.
And you got escalators in these decommissioning plans, that is? How are we going to come up with the price of decommissioning?
It's going to be a percentage of the cost of the project, right?
It's probably in there, but I mean, we should be able to get an engineer to come in at the time of this project and say this is roughly what that price is going to be, right? So we got that language in here.
Yeah, the cost estimate detailing the proposed cost of executing the decommissioning plan shall be prepared by a professional engineer contractor. And then that's going to be reviewed by our, I should probably add that in there just for the heck of it. It should be reviewed by our engineer also. Costs.
And who's going to be on top to make sure that these surety bonds and is the being maintained that have come back on the code enforcement
possibly?
Probably.
Yeah, we should definitely have a decommission on pole mounts. We have a few of those in town. Once those go bad, they're definitely an eyesore. They're pretty big.
On ground mounts that we got?
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of those, in order for them to be effective, if we can change the height of those to 18 over 15.
Where's that?
The
problem is right now, you might not even put them in because they have to lock them electronically to kind of fit right here too. Or a 15 foot mesh on the pipe.
C sub 1.
So they're not gaining.
That's height and setback.
It's almost not worth putting them in because they aren't getting the proper angle.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't like looking at them personally, but.
So you really want to raise the height?
I don't know. I feel like if you're going to let somebody...
Right, but if you're putting them in, you're not getting maximum use of it. What the hell is the sense of having?
Yeah, 18 isn't even maximum. They were asking me for like 22 or something, but I think that's... I found a bunch of them that work well.
So you're a potential project came in and they were asking about height?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be taller than the house.
Yeah, so I just did a little research on it. Well, 18 feet isn't taller than the house, but... I guess it could be taller than some houses.
Right.
Like a ranch.
Well, this is just on large scale, this footage.
No,
there's not everything.
Our pool mounts
ground mounted, it's in two places. It's sort of ground mounted and it's on a large scale.
Pole mount should probably be special use only if it isn't, because they are a particular eyesore. You wouldn't want like a really good place to put it.
Okay.
But like you were saying, if you're going to let them put it up, you might as well have it work. I mean, there's no point in having one.
Ground
the end doesn't work.
Ground-mounted solar systems are prohibited in front yards and side yards.
That's a big improvement. Yeah, I know of at least one that's sitting right in the front yard.
So how's everybody feel about wanting to be a special use permit or just a go to math or a permit?
I'm good with special use.
Ground for ground mount?
Yeah.
Regardless of size?
Yeah.
Particularly tracker units. Like, I don't know if you want to go all the way and go ground mount too, but.
Tracker meaning things.
Yeah, the ones on the poles that tilt.
Those could be pretty ugly.
They really are.
A lot more applications for us to review.
Like the one that was still rolled by the creek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
The one that gets me is on Ramsey School. Like
school
house, yeah.
And there's also one on Brooks
Hall. Right, because they move according to the sun.
So we want tracker to be special use permit or all ground mounted?
Oh, I think he said pole mounted.
Yeah, the tracker ones, the full mounted trackers.
Okay. Yeah, the tracker should, because those are. I'm not particularly. I mean, they look kind of like when they look at this, the technology and having that, but you got to fear the neighbor, it's not so nice. That's for sure.
doesn't, most codes are around 15 feet on the height, is that correct? In other communities, I mean, I know we're doing it wrong, but.
We need a definition for pole, if we're distinguishing between pole mounted and ground mounted, we need a definition for pole mounted, and I don't have it.
Pole mounts are usually, well, they're not always tractor, but they sit up higher, they're usually on an extension pole. The ground mounted ones are the racks that are low to the ground.
Alright, so I need a definition.
Right, it's like what they're putting on, like, the ground mounted, pole mounted is on like a basketball pole and just.
Mine's on my ground, we want that pole.
So.
No, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
134A6 sub 2. Explain that to me.
Hold on, 134A what?
134A6 sub 2.
Yeah, I don't know why that would have to be, I guess maybe some of these companies put them on an angle on top of the roof, so they don't want it to be more than 10 feet.
So 2 feet here, then 8 feet up over here, at an angle that goes with the pitch of the roof, is that what?
You know, I was kind of wondering the same thing when I saw it.
Because 10 feet above the roof line.
Right, normally if they put them on the roof, they're on the roof.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it where, you know, it's 10 feet over the roof.
No, most of them, the ones I read about the roof now, I mean, there's only so many inches off that roof that these.
Well, no, I've seen them where they sit on an angle.
On a bracket, right?
So, right, so the bottom is tight, but then on the top, it's tilted, so yeah. I see what you're talking about.
That's a generous number.
Whatever you see in black is already there.
I know.
That just gives you an idea.
All of mine are black, so that means that it was all there.
That just gives you an idea how bad the thing was before we. So we should fix that. That should say what?
Maybe it should be like 2 feet, if anything. 10 is a lot.
10's a big number off that roof.
I don't think I'd go 2 feet.
What would you do?
I mean, because most of these houses have a finished roof to begin with.
Yeah, you can see
it's all there at Home Depot.
Right, but like I said, I've seen them where, you know, they're flushed down in the bottom by the gutter, but then they're angled to get the sun, so it's like it's like a triangle.
Yeah,
right.
You know, the way it sits.
Okay.
I mean,
good.
Yeah, you can take that out.
So that would be 1 foot.
But see, but they're still saying extend too. I mean, so you can still have them tilted on your roof. This is, I think, when you start to talk at the peak of your roof.
No, it's just
you know what I'm saying? If you're roof's pretty got an angle.
So it would be
you can come up this, you know, you can come up this way, but it's not exceeding your vent ridges. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That's not what it says.
No, it's not
just from the shingles to the top.
It can be 10 feet above your roof.
At any given point. So if you're at the top of your roof.
Then you're 10 feet above.
Then you're way high. I mean, really, there should be. I don't think you should have that thing above your roof line to begin with, in my opinion. Yeah. If you get 10, I mean, I've seen a lot of houses up these developments up in Bethlehem, and you don't see them.
Roof
peak. They're not up over the peak.
Right.
I mean, that's a big thing. Otherwise, you got wind issues and everything else. I mean, if you get up above that peak of that roof. I mean, I think
you have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm Leah Cullen Boyer from Cashdale and Villando. I think the ones you're seeing on an angle like that, I don't know if you've seen PV or you've seen solar thermal, like water heaters, or you're seeing actually PV, because I'm pretty sure that most PV installers won't do that. That idea of a 10-foot above the roof, most installers won't do it because it's not good help for the liability issue.
When
you're looking at solar thermal, like a water unit, or it's probably an antique because not.
All right, so that creates another problem, right? What's the difference between that being on your roof and a solar panel? Why is that not regulated?
Or like for your domestic hot water, or
you know what I mean?
Wait, can I put one other idea when you're talking about an 18-foot height and a 15-foot height and the ugly poles? I'm with you on the ugly pole thing. There's also a lot of solar installers who are doing carports, which are beautiful wood, you know, are fancy, they're very expensive, and they do the solar on top of it, and a lot of times it'll come with a car charger, and I'm sure it has all the incentives that they have incentives for businesses that will donate $5,000 towards this project, plus whatever you're going to get from wherever else in the bargain tax write-off. So a lot of people are going for carports where they can charge their electric car. And these things are generally really attractive, But I don't know that the 15-foot height is gonna be, you might wanna make a third category, like, okay, there's...
Well, that's not really, technically, that's roof mounted, because it's technically a roof on the carport, so it's still roof mounted.
That would be permissible.
That would be permissible.
Alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not ground mounted, it's not pole mounted, it's technically, it's a roof, so...
So I think this applies whether it's water or electric, right? So if it's heating water, or if it's passive or active, right?
Doesn't say that.
Yeah.
I think it does.
So getting back, we still wanna go higher than 15 feet, though?
Or do you wanna call it, keep it at 15, and say up to 18 with special...
I mean, well, and there goes the problem, right, because everybody's gonna be different. If I got a house in the middle of the frickin' woods and nobody's around me, right? What does it matter if it's 15, or 18, or 20 feet in the air? If I'm gonna get, if I gotta get past the trees without cutting 100 trees down, and I can go 3 more feet in the air, right? So it should be case by case on something like that.
Well, they can always get variance.
Yeah.
You can always get variance. You know, in your case, if you're in the middle of the woods, and you come in and you say, look, I wanna have 22 feet, that way we're gonna save 18 trees.
Right.
The zoning board will approve that.
Right, so it should be on, like I said, case by case.
So you get a brick, right, you go to the zoning board, and that way protect somebody in Wildwood Park from looking at 18.
Right, so I would just leave it, and then let them go case by case if they want.
So just get the...
I haven't seen a lot, I looked at this, over the last few years, but I think 15 seemed...
15?
Yeah, so if we...
Yeah, and if they need to get a variance, like I said, case by case, they can go and get a variance, or...
Alright, good, so that needs some more work on it.
Did you find the other thing, Patrick?
Yeah, it's under definitions, so I'm assuming that...
Is that the front or the bottom?
Definitions of, whatever front.
On the solar, I'm gonna go back to the regular.
Yeah, for solar.
Purpose definitions, which one?
Solar energy collector.
Collector, equipment, energy, solar energy system.
How many air?
Or water collector device.
That's gonna fall under that water collector device.
Good.
Yeah, but have we seen anybody apply for a water?
Two people in the village just drilled almost 500-foot well for one of these.
For thermal?
Yeah.
I was asking Matt if anybody's...
I don't know, business that has one on the roof.
Well, I know, there's quite a few more around, that's what I'm saying, I don't think anybody really knows that they need to...
Right, but I don't know what they look like.
I mean, there's a whole...
They're very important. You can't have a lot of just domestic, huh?
Wow, that's cool, like 500 feet, yeah.
Wow, that's something, that's pretty cool to watch.
Wow. That's the future, thermal energy.
Geothermal?
Yeah. Okay, good, we're good so far?
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is, 138 is, streets and sidewalks.
That one I didn't review a lot, so that's gonna be a good idea.
That one seemed pretty decent.
That one I didn't take a peek at.
So the main, really, it looks like the only change, 138, it's in the appendix to 138. And this is something that we've seen that has come in front of the board, and we've had to deal with, a 50-foot right-of-way for
Private road. Is it for a private road?
Yeah, private road, right-of-way. Yeah, private road. And we thought that was excessive. We'd rather not cut down all those trees. So it says, we just changed it, 50-foot right-of-way. It says all trees, stumps, and brush shall be cleared within a 50-foot right-of-way. We changed it to 24-foot width, and that's a combination. 24-foot is a combination of the street surface and the shoulder. And that is a minimum road specification which controls
feet on for utilities and stuff like that?
I think it's over 11, don't you, Paul?
What would you want it to be, Patrick? From the fire, the 9-foot lane, that's pretty tight.
But you're really going to have, I mean, that's two-way traffic. You're going to have 20 feet.
Right, you're only talking a driveway.
Yeah, this is a driveway or a private road?
Private road.
I thought you said driveway.
No, this is a private road, too. I mean, if you get out in these countries where that's going to happen, you're going to need a water shuttle and everything else with a tank. Right? You're going to need two-way.
A lot of truck.
Oh, yeah.
So private road, for instance, is that road out there?
Old quarry.
Old quarry.
Yes, that's a great example.
So 11-foot travel lane, is that? Which is four more feet, so make 28 feet, right? It's still better than 50.
It's much better than
50. I'm just trying to 30.
You're not going to be any lower 11 feet. You're technically any lower 8 feet, I'm not supposed to be driving on the road.
Right, because not today you got snow removal, and all these shoulders aren't going to be the best, as when you want to pull over. If they don't do a good job with a shoulder, you can lose, you know, especially on the private road.
Why don't we make it 30? And that way we, you know, because you know he's going to go in over time anyway.
Yeah, so right.
Start at 30.
I like the 30. I think that's a good. I mean, I don't know if it helped anybody. I think that's a fair compromise. You're still saving 20 feet, which, and it, you know, snow removal and the various things. And I agree, it's going to start encroaching over time. It's only about 3 or 4 years later, that's for sure.
So right above that it says, and this is existing, this is the existing language, it says paved section of any street shall be not less than 18 feet in width. So you really want that to be 22 feet, right, Patrick?
That's probably more reasonable.
Yeah.
Where are you at now?
This is 131, it's the appendix, it's all the way at the end of 131.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Penny Road, yeah.
What's a town road? So if somebody came in tomorrow and wanted to build a new town road, what's the minimum width for a new town road?
I think that's 13-foot lane, isn't it?
13 foot of paved
per lane. So I think
per lane.
Right.
All right.
And then a 3-foot shoulder or 4-foot?
3.
Huh. Okay.
What's that? It's not a town road, but that was the newest road built to town specs.
Falling Waters.
Falling Waters. And what was his width?
His is greater. He built it greater than town specs.
But that should be 11 foot.
Minimum, right? Or fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good to know. You got 22 and a 3 and a 3, right?
Yeah.
So that's 28. So 30 and a half.
Okay, good. 140 is subdivisions.
I mean, down on Old Quarry, what do we go, 50 feet?
It only should be 35.
So 30.
You need drainage on the sides.
And I don't even think we went that far.
Because I've been down there, and I mean, it doesn't look like it's enormous. I can technically go down.
Because of the topography, you would have to cut the hillside down. So that's why a portion of Old Quarry Road is a one-way road.
Right, at this point, I'm making them bring it to fire emergency spec,
okay,
which I believe is 20 feet, and then 3-foot shoulders or something like that.
Which one we go to next?
140, which is
subdivision.
And the only change that I think we made, I'm trying to find this, even if you grab this one. 140.18. 140.18.
C.
Well, okay, that's good. That's two changes then. So 140, what was it, 18? C.
C10.
10. And this was just an inconsistency. We need 24 feet of a for road frontage, and if I remember flag lots, I think that, what, 20 feet, and we changed it to 24 to be consistent.
Right.
Yeah, so that was consistent. So that's a 24. So if you're creating a flag lot, which is, the bulk of your land is off the road, and then you just have a little skinny strip that ties into the highway, that has to be 24 feet wide.
And it used to be 50, right?
I think it was smaller. Mm. We tried to do is widen it.
With the exception of flag lots.
Yeah.
And the flag lots, I think it said 20 before.
I think it said 20.
Yes, yeah. It's 20 times.
Now, if you turn the next, if you turn the page and you come to 12, it's just right below, it's directly below, it's 12E, you will come to a blank in our subdivision law. And it says a shared driveway shall have a minimum width of 20 feet and a maximum length of blank feet. And we just took that out. We just crossed out maximum length of blank feet. We just took that out. Does everybody see what I'm
saying?
Yes,
I see it. All right. Yeah. Right here. The shared driveway shall have a minimum of 20 feet. And the maximum length. So they really got rid of the length of the driveway. It shall be improved from all weather surfaces with a minimum width of 16 suitable for passenger and emergency vehicle access.
Yeah, for a driveway.
For a driveway.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't care what length the driveway goes back in.
Right.
Right. So that might be a good thing, because
yeah, that's one. Okay. So 140 is okay. All right. Now we're up to zoning. Okay. So the big attraction here is that I took 12 or 15 pages of text that talk about setbacks and uses. There's one table for setbacks and yard requirements. There's another table, I created tables for usage. So we took basically 12 or 15 pages. For instance, if you go to 160.10, rural residential agricultural, and you see
160.10.
And it says permitted uses, and there's all those lists. There's pages and pages of lists.
I don't have any of mine.
Mine is 160.10, it just says A.
Yeah. RA, right?
Yeah, I don't have any of
those. Yeah.
I get what you're talking about here.
This is in the current book has lists.
Right.
So if you look at
one family dwelling, agriculture.
If you want to pass this around, this is what it looks like now.
Now
I put it in a table. All that in a table. Okay. And so you took out, and it makes it for the average person, it makes things much simpler. Everything's in 3 pages rather than 15 pages, and it's in tables. So the tables, we have very, very few recommendations for actual changes, and I'll go over those. If you look at the tables that I sent you, site plan review is in HC and I, highway commercial and industrials. Everybody see my tables, our tables?
How many, is it like in 167?
160.
I mean, I see it in earlier, but I don't see it.
Yeah, it's 167.
Okay, I see it here, kind of over there.
167.
Yes, yeah, I see it.
Alright, so we got cannabis. We talked about a little bit what zones we would allow cannabis in, so this is your time to, you know.
Right, but is it, again, with the state, are they going to overrule us like they did with the solar and say that?
I don't know.
Right, that's the whole question on this.
Right.
They could come say, hey, you can put it wherever you want.
Yep.
Same with the solar, right? We write all these laws, and then at the end of the day, they come and say, man, your laws don't matter, they can put it here if they want to put it there.
No, I did read the cannabis law last year when it came out, and I think that thing, I think you are allowed at present, you can restrict it by zone.
That's what they said. So
right,
far.
But the actual regulations still haven't come out, so nobody really knows what.
Right. But right now, you're committed to restrict it by zone.
Right. And I think we can restrict further as a municipality to tailor it to your own community.
You're open.
Right.
Crematories, we actually had a crematory, you're probably aware of that. So we wrestled with that for months and months and months, and our recommendation is we take it out of RA and we move it to industrial.
It's an industrial now right there?
It's not an industrial now. It's only
in RA.
It's only in RA.
Yeah.
It's only in RA.
Large scale solar energy all the way, column C.
Okay. that's wrong. I mean, that should be out. Is it out on yours?
No, it's there.
Is it there?
Okay, I gotta fix that. That's not a table?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that's, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll fix that. Manufacturing, extraction, assembly, fabrication, we have like a definition. We have to tighten up on the definition, so there was a whole category that we're taking out, but we're not removing those uses. It's just that we tightened up the definitions and we put them, you know, we divide it up. Instead of having that big cluster of all those uses is as one category, we created several categories. So that's what that's about. Membership club or commercial recreational uses, we added the word commercial. That was a question that came up with the Friar talk. So we want to make sure if some of these happen, if people are, if the 15 of us go over to Dale's house and we have a softball game, you don't need a permit for that. But if Dale is charging people to come to his house, then you need a permit for that. Let's see here. Yeah, warehousing. You see, warehousing, we gave it its own. Roosters, we decided roosters are not permitted in residential zones. Chickens are permitted, but not roosters. So that's that.
You can't have chickens without a rooster.
We understood that. We talked about that. They'll have to bring their chickens to the rooster, and he'll have to be in a different zone. All right, so that's, any questions about any of those?
How's it in the village, Patrick? They allow
roosters? No,
I just asked.
There's still some on New Street, because I hear
that. I got one on my
street. Right, but if you become a farmer,
What do you have out?
You know what I mean? You can't. Yeah.
Well, they're limited, how many they can have for the law.
Is the hospital thing going to be a problem?
No.
Or is the one that they're putting in a highway commercial?
Yeah.
So should we have it allowable now, or should we special use? Or how are we going to go about that? Are they even going to be able to do it if it's not
who's building the hospital?
Well, there's speculation for one.
I mean, is it the government or is it free enterprise?
We'll address that one.
Do you want that? That's a good point. Do you want that to be SP in that?
In where? Highway commercial?
Yeah. No? Something, a light bulb goes on, we don't have to come up with every single answer tonight. It's more to look at it, and if you need to go back and look at things a little bit more, then we have time to do that.
Do we have a zoning map?
I don't have one with me. Yeah.
On that GIS, I mean.
Yeah, it'll break it.
You put the layers on. I was thinking about printing a few of those for the meeting so we can see the old buildings.
Yeah.
Where's our waterfront on
the
picture? The
what was it?
Waterfront overlay.
That was along Inmouth Road.
That was Planet Hudson, right?
Yeah, and then.
How about the Cabotskill and the Catskill? Is there anything with that?
Yeah, where Palachi used to be, that's part of the waterfront district. We had a few special forums for that one.
Palazzi is part of the waterfront?
Yeah, it is.
What water?
It's within that zone. I didn't do buy the zone. I just try to buy right what you say it is.
So the other, another thing we did along the lines of cleaning things up is there was something in the zoning law called a zoning permit, and it was causing Matt to lose stupid money almost from the day he was hired to be bothered by this. You know, this, what do we need a zoning permit for? So he called me up, and I looked, and I said, geez, I don't know what we need a zoning permit for. So we decided that we didn't understand what a zoning permit was, we didn't understand what the reasoning was. So we decided, I think, what we ended up doing is we have a zoning permit for any construction that does not otherwise need a permit. That's sort of how we ended up doing it, and the reason for that is that you still want people to comply with setbacks. So if you have a building that's less than 144 square feet, and they otherwise fall through the cracks, they still need a zoning permit because they need to abide by our setback law. So we're kind of reconfigured.
Right. And true agricultural buildings don't get a building permit.
Right. Right. But they still need to comply with setbacks. So that was a very good thing to do because it was a problem. It was a problem for code enforcement. It was a problem for me. I didn't understand what it was. And so I think we cleaned that up, and I think that's a good thing to do. The next thing we did is we added consultants, the ability to have consultants. If you look at 16022, and escrow deposits are required. Escrow, I don't think there was any written requirement, right? For escrow, so it was kind of like by folklore, we were setting up an escrow account, but we didn't have any, we didn't have any legs to stand on, really. So we fixed that, which I think was pretty good.
Well, what's triggering the escrow?
It depends on the scale of the project. It's really at the discretion of the planning board.
Right. Yeah, it depends on whether we need a county engineer or not.
Yeah.
And whatever they don't use up, they get their money back.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
So.
And a lot of it depends upon how much area of disturbance is going on. It's more than an acre. You need a speedies permit, which says you need a county engineer. But some of them are more complicated and where you want the engineer. Good example is 9360 on Route 32. There's a water issue that we have an escrow on because we had the stormwater engineer go out and convince the applicant they had to move the drainage from off the roof away from the wetland because it was already flooding in the wetland area. So stuff like that we required an engineer of the escrow.
The other major change, or another major change, actually we didn't make really, other than putting everything into tables, that was really the major thing that we accomplished in zoning, but we tidied up some of these other things, we added the escrow, and then the other thing, by popular demand, we have accessory apartments, which is you can if you have a garage or a barn,
16031.
16031. If you have a garage or a barn, you can put on the second floor or in the back of it, whatever, you can add an accessory apartment. I'm the attorney for the town of Livingston. You do it over there. It works very, very well. People are very happy with it. And you can also build a second building. If you don't have an existing garage, you can build a garage.
Right. Right, but what's the difference between that and say you want to put two modules on a piece of property?
Well, you can do that too.
Okay.
Because what we have is, and I got to find it, because that came up.
As long as you have enough space.
Yeah, as long as you have.
If you
could still divide it, and it would still be compliant with for both uses.
Right.
Oh, so you have to subdivide it?
No, you don't have to. But if it were to get subdivided.
It's like a yellow.
There's enough space to.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was one of my things before these changes, right? I could put up a three-family house, and everybody can live under, technically, as one dwelling, right? But I can't have two different, there's really no difference. You know, a duplex, for example, you know?
Right.
Two families with one building, what's the difference if it's two buildings and two families?
So you can do the accessory structure, or you can have two houses, you know, two structures, if there's enough room to subdivide. If you don't have to subdivide, but if there's, as long as there's enough room that if you did subdivide, it would get some subdivision approval. So you
but
can't.
But then if you subdivide, it's going to be two different septics and two different wells.
Well, you could have easements. Easements will take care of that. You just don't. We don't want to shoehorn two houses on one village lot, one little tiny.
I mean, if you're putting two structures on one lot, it's family, right? I would put in there that the only way it could be sold is it's sold as one parcel. I don't think you should be able to split up so you don't get into that, you know, where the well and septic's on this parcel, but the house is over here, and you have a problem with this neighbor now that there's somebody else living in the house, and, you know, they're turning off the electric to the well, and you have no water, and...
Those problems exist today on Housing Hill.
Well, I'm right.
Yep. I agree.
So it should be...
That should be a condition for subdivision, is that each one would have to have its own...
If you subdivide.
If you're going to one day.
Or it's got to be sold as one unit. You can't
or it has to be sold.
Sell them separately.
Right.
Yep. Just so you don't get into those situations.
So if they're sharing water and septic, you want them to be sold as one unit.
That's my opinion. I mean,
not subdivisible
unless you put in a separate well and septic, you know, to accommodate the other structures.
Yeah, right. I like that.
You know,
right. And that would hold true if they didn't have enough land to subdivide also then. Like we had one not that far from here that,
right.
You know, the person didn't have enough land to, you know, he couldn't put cooking quarters in that particular house because he didn't have enough road frontage in the event he wanted to subdivide that piece of
land. Well, the way we have it now...
So we want to give him a CO on that particular
I can't find that language, but the way Gary Harvey came into a meeting and we borrowed, and he recommended this and everybody else thought it was a good idea, and I borrowed the language from Sovereigns, and it actually says... Your parcel has to be big enough to be able to be subdivided. So, is that
the setbacks? Right?
Yeah,
with the setbacks,
but that's where the
other setbacks.
We had a case like that, not, you know, maybe 6 months ago, where his property he had a long driveway only, you know, so he didn't, this particular customer or resident did not have that road frontage to be eligible to subdivide.
Right. Well, what did so they do?
We didn't give them a CO for the garage with the space above it. This individual got ill, and he wanted to convert it to a living space so his family member could help him through his illness.
Under this, he could do that now.
Right, because that's an
accessory structure.
Accessory versus what he was talking about before was a full separate dwelling.
Right.
If you're doing a full separate dwelling, you have to have the way it's written.
So this will be an accessory garage with an apartment.
Well,
it's going to be an accessory dwelling.
Right.
And then it's okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
That. But going back to my thing, right? You have two separate.
Right.
You know, it's either got to be written if you subdivide, you have to add an additional well and septic, or it can't. It's got to go as one parcel.
Yep.
I just think it's cleaner that way, and it's going to save a lot of headaches down the road.
The current subdivision law says that any parcel has to have its own well and septic. We can't approve subdivision unless we prove that there can be a well and septic on this, on both, you know.
So currently, that's the first thing we would make them do then, right?
Right.
So it's already covered in the permit.
It's covered in the subdivision law.
Yeah.
But here we're saying you don't have to subdivide for the second.
Well, is it really a subdivision or if you're just...
No, you don't have to subdivide if you want to keep them both on one.
One lot.
Right. If you never have any intentions on selling it and you do a shared system, that's fine.
Right.
But when you put the buildings up, it has to be able to meet the setbacks if it were to be subdivided.
Right.
So it would be, that would be just more of like a parcel planning than, you know, what you could do or have to do or not.
So I gave you a couple of sort of miscellaneous things that we've come up with in the last couple of weeks. I'd like to see language to see if this code enforcement can go on any land which is the subject of a site plan. Right now, did you and I talk about this?
Yeah.
But then, right now, the building code, the New York State building codes allows, if you have a building permit, that you're obligated to let the code enforcement go on your property, but not for a site plan. And I think there have been several cases in the past, and I can think of a couple where the person came in, there's a site plan application, and we really kind of didn't know what the heck they were really doing. And the code enforcement, unless the person lets you on there, there's no law that says the code enforcement is entitled to go and take a look at what you're doing. So it gives the code enforcement more, and it gives us more information.
But shouldn't that also be if he's investigating a complaint, allowing him access to?
Well,
because more and more around here, right, you're getting houses that are full way back in the woods. There's gated driveways.
Right.
They can say, "I'm not letting you in."
Right. And they can say that, and that's right. What they do.
But they're up there building a house or building a garage or.
It's a problem, and people have property rights, and you know there's other ways. You know, you can't enforce stuff, you know, or you have to be creative. You subpoena the UPS driver, and he said, well, I saw, you know. I mean, that, you're right, but there's nothing you can do about that. But if somebody comes in for a site plan, they are introducing themselves to the town, and they are saying, we want to do A, B, and C. Well, he should be able to go out there and see what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that 100%, but then, like I said, you're getting people that aren't doing that.
I know.
But you can see from the road that they're doing something, but you can't access that because...
Well,
if you see on the road, you can.
Yeah, you take pictures and...
Right. That's what I said when you start going down the road, and you can only see a glimpse of what's going on.
Right.
You see the trucks going empty, you don't know what's going on behind it.
Right.
So the truck disappears, then you're done.
Right.
So is that okay? Does that, everybody likes that idea?
I think currently there's language like that on the application, right?
Yeah, there is a permission form that we require that, for a reset plan, we basically ask them to give the town officials access to the property.
Right.
But it would be better reinforced to have it, yeah, so that way it's...
It simplifies the application process, because then it becomes automatic.
Right.
Townhouses and condominiums. And we had a long discussion about this. We had an applicant the other day, actually a couple of last week. Right now, you know, condominiums is a multi-family dwelling where the person, the single entity, owns the land and owns the building to sit on the land. They can sell the apartments, but the ownership of the buildings and the ownership of the land and the ownership of the common space belongs to that single entity. So it's a condominium, but it's also permissible under our multifamily dwelling law. Now a townhouse is different. A townhouse is, you know, you have four units. Each person, you have a difference with whoever lives in the apartment owns that part of the building. So you, now you have little tiny parcels. You have little, you know, they actually own a piece of the building, they own the footprint that the footprint sits on, they own the land, they own, so they have, you have these little parcels that are, they're illegal under our current subdivision law. We don't allow, you know, little tiny parcels, and we also require setbacks and all that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of reasons why townhouses are not, you know, under our current zoning law, they're not allowed. So is it a concept that you want to, you know, permit in the future, or something you want to think about? What are your thoughts on townhouses?
Why not?
I think we ought to get townhouses.
In the town, it doesn't really make sense because if you're building a row house, why wouldn't you just make it condos? And I guess the answer to that from our current applicant is it's a financing thing. But other than that, does it make sense to change the whole zoning and parcel size and everything just to get something that can be financed as a townhouse? I don't know.
Well, the problem with the condo is that there's common space. There's common space that the owner has to maintain. The owner has to maintain the sidewalks and the backyard and all that kind of stuff. If you just want to build a thing and then leave, you'd rather have the thing broken up into six owners and let them worry about the,
sure, no, I get it.
You know, so...
So how do they go with the town? It's an association, right?
It's an association. Yeah.
Why not make it, you know, instead of an association or something like that?
Right, but you still got to make sure that these places are going to be maintained and such like that.
But are they, so they are individual parcels, though? It's just as a
association? The townhouse would be an individual parcel of,
down there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not.
They are down there? No, they're not. They're condos.
Those are condos.
So it's
right?
one parcel of land.
Oh, they're calling them condos now, not townhouses? I thought they were townhouses.
No.
No? So we name them condos instead of townhouses.
But that's what we suggested, honestly. That's
wait, this is really, I mean, it doesn't.
What's your thoughts on it?
Well, condos and townhouses, except for the legal status, they're the same thing. They're the same thing. So if you're going to have condos, you know, why not have townhouses? It just gives the developer more flexibility. Because right now you couldn't have condos, but you can't have townhouses. So it just gives him or her more flexibility for financing and ability to, you know, if he wants to just, you know, I'm going to build six units, I'm going to sell them to six different people, and then I'm going to go to Florida. He can do that.
What are the guidelines currently on major subdivisions? Because that's what it's going to produce, really.
Well, this would be a big carve out. This would be a big exception. You'd have, you know, whatever our rules are for major subdivisions, and then you'd have this big, great, big townhouse exception where none of the rules apply, because you'd have these little tiny,
right.
You'd have little tiny parcels. You'd have common water and sewer. So, you know, what you were just talking about having separate, everybody has to have their separate well and sewer. Well, that's not, that doesn't apply.
So they've got a maintenance agreement with that most.
Yeah.
They still have to have it, yeah.
Yeah.
Or they would only be allowed where there's public water.
Well, there's probably public water and sewer, yeah.
Well, but then you still have an agreement because of the common.
That
guy
is necessary. That's true. I mean, where you have the UT, you know, you need your infrastructure, I would think, or something like that, and water and sewer. I don't think you'd want to put this outside of the,
no,
you know, that it would be way not good and complicated for sure.
Yeah,
what's the difference between condos and a 20-unit apartment complex, like what's up in, you know,
common ownership of the land?
You know,
we're back to the condo situation. You still have the one parcel maintained by one owner.
By one owner, yeah.
It just makes it easier.
want me to draft some town house, you know, I'll just quickly, you know, see what they're doing in Wyndham or someplace. I'll just take theirs and I'll send it, you know, for everybody to look at, right?
You take another bill down and see what it looks like. See how complicated it's going to be for us.
What do you think, Teresa?
I think it's a good idea for long-term development of the town. The real question is what zone it should be in. And I'm a little nervous about the parts of RA that don't have municipal water and sewer, because I think it could get complicated. Especially when we're talking about SAP, if it wants to put it, if 18 of the units would be in an RA zone. Mm-hmm. So we have to really think through it. But the common walls is a big issue. So you have to make sure that there's some kind of protection or maintenance of those common walls.
And then how big of a lot size, how many units would somebody need to trigger them to have an on-site treatment facility? Good part of it.
Well, if you're going to limit it to water, so for instance, if it came through Leeds, does Leeds have sewer?
Sewer
and water. Yeah. Is there any place in the town that has water but not sewer?
Just a few spots. Very limited.
Well, yeah, on the other side of the Leeds Bridge.
Right, they have water.
They have water.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. All the way up to
So American Thermostat,
I think there's also water on Strawberry Lane, right? But no sewer.
Yes.
Like that area too, yeah. Right?
No, there's no water.
No water. Allen Street, Upper Allen.
Upper Allen has water.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Strawberry Lane has.
I thought there was a higher area.
No. But you're right. The add-on because of the pollution and stuff like that. They had the old thermostat, so they didn't run water on that.
Upper Allen has water. So the north side of 23, is that what you call Upper Allen?
Our last hydrant is at Central Hudson.
And no sewer, though?
No sewer. No, Allen has
sewer. Yeah, it does have sewer.
Okay. So is it legally possible for, if we get outside of the sewer district, you know, if we're going to look into this townhouse thing, can you have one sewer system that services all of these units that spreads across multiple lots?
That's like sewer. 10. How big of a plot can we get into where you require them to have on-site treatment facilities?
You know, Leeds on the other side of the bridge is a good example. There's some very large lot parcels out there. They border the Catskill Creek. That might be that's a scenic, sort of a scenic area. People might want to put townhouses out there, and there's no sewer. You know, you're increasing your tax base, right? People are paying taxes.
So the sewer ends up under, like, everybody's backyard, let's say, and then it's part of that HOH agreement?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could work if... I guess we just need an example of how it would work.
Why don't we look at some examples of towns, and then that might help us make a better decision.
What about that? This might be a dumb question. That trailer park that's out there on in South Carolina.
They're both hooked up to water.
But no sewer?
No sewer.
So all those.
Yeah, one new septic.
Yeah, right. One septic.
Overall.
But Forest
Hill. Yeah, each section has it.
Forest Hill Avenue, that's now by 23B, very close.
And then Kellogg's.
Kellogg's on the left, going west.
They tie into one.
No, each trailer park has their own septic system.
Each zone is like four zones. Like a campground, right?
Yeah.
There's a septic over here, there's a septic over
but
here.
But each mobile home ties into a
one big tank, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And they had those.
But they don't own the property, that's the other difference, right? They pay a lot, right?
Yep. Yeah, they only own the trailer.
They only own the. Right.
If you go in north on 9W, you take what I call the double dips over there.
Yeah.
On the left, yes. Yeah, believe it or not, they have a, their
see it down there.
And that's, and they got, they've got like 60 to 70 trailers in there, and it's, but it's maintained, you know, it's a sewer plant almost.
So that mobile home park where they don't own, the people don't own the land, that's like a condo. That's the same concept as a condo.
I mean, the condo's a safer bet as far as maintaining things and for, because you got somebody who's going to, future, you know, if you get the wrong owners of these townhomes, what's it going to look like if it's not done correctly 25 years from now,
right?
Where if you got somebody that's going to be doing all this maintenance for you, I think it's going to be a better product. At least, you know, because you do have somebody that's going to shovel, somebody's going to, you know, fix the sidewalks when they get cracked, and,
right.
And then when they paint the paint on it, I mean, my nephew, he owned a Lizard, but he bought a condo within, I guess, Latham area, but next thing, you know, the leaves, you know, the roof in the valleys were having trouble, it was brand new construction, but at least he was able to call up the guy and say, I'll fix his roof and things, where, which, you know, I think it would be much more complicated if you had 25 owners trying to figure out what the hell is going to happen.
All right, so you just stay there one minute. So I have, you know, you gave me some work to do. I mean, I'll try to, when's your next, your first week of?
February 1st.
So how many, is that 2 weeks from today, or what is that?
Just shy.
So it'd have to be the second meeting.
Well, I'll try to get whatever changes you gave me to work on. I'll get them to you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then we'll, you know, and then I mean, if you want to do this again tonight in 2 weeks, I'll come in and we'll just kind of finish things up.
But we might as well polish it up.
Right?
If you have
just go over these changes,
definitely. Yeah.
Right. Only the changes that we discussed.
Okay.
That would work for me.
Okay.
Because it would be nice to get some of these on the book, especially for the short-term rentals, you know, it's the season.
Yeah, we get the whole scale on that one.
Okay.
All right. You're going to learn a lot about that in the planning board, too, on the short-term rentals.
Yeah, we just get a lot of complaints from people that are trying to use short-term rentals that they cannot have.
Okay.
It's mostly because of noise issues, which is different. We're really trying to address safety issues here, but we mentioned noise briefly.
Yeah, it's a little bit about, it's like from like 10 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock in the morning.
But noise is just called the Sheriff's Department of State Police. I mean, there's noise ordinance on the books. I mean,
you'd be surprised.
The enforcement's another issue with that, because we don't have our own police department.
Right.
So it's, you know, local laws is hard to get, and so, you know, somebody would enforce it.
Right.
That's really the truth on that. You want to discuss that truck a little further, since you guys are going to push that down a little bit? We got one personnel issue that we want to go into executive session for.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And a legal matter.
Okay.
For the code also.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Motion.
Second.
All those.